You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen a lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. In the studio with me, my lovely wife, Becca.
Hello.
On the show today, we're going a little dark. We'll be talking with Gracie and Abby, who are the creator hosts of a podcast called Good Morning Nancy, where they review horror films from a pretty interesting perspective. But before we get to that, there's one thing we wanted to talk about. And the plan for today is we're going to talk about this thing, and then we'll talk to Gracie and Abby, and then we've got I have 7 pages of stuff to talk about. So there will definitely be some Patreon extended content for today. If you want to get access to that for as little as $1 an episode, head to patreon.com/SarahTalk. So let's start with something fun. You know, we here at Sarah Talk are big fans of Target. Becca spends all our money there. But they came out in support of transgender restroom rights, and they didn't back down when the church pressure heated up. So we support their business. Anyway, they have a new clothing line. And I know we have some non-binary and agender listeners specifically who are going to love this. The new clothing line is Toca Boca, which was first a digital toy company that I'd never heard of until I read this story.
It sounded familiar to me when I first heard the... So yeah, that makes sense.
They said in a recent press release, Toca Boca, the number one mobile first kids brand, announced today the company's first collection of consumer products for kids. Staying true to Toca Boca's values around diversity and inclusivity, the line brings the silly and quirky elements from the award-winning Toca Life digital toy series to real life. The collection includes apparel, accessories, sleepwear, backpacks, lunch bags, bedding, and activity books, and will be available exclusively at Target retail stores and Target.com beginning July 17th. Oh, they're already out. Just in time for back to school, the collection makes playthings out of everything. As a company founded in Stockholm, Toca Boca is steeped in the Scandinavian history of democratic design. Well-designed, good-quality products that are accessible to everyone. When designing the collection, those principles were married with clean lines, a bright color palette boys and girls will love, and unexpected quirky details. Each piece is unique, designed with the functionality of that specific product in mind, and like all of Toca Boca's products, the collection was designed from the kids' perspective, so parents can be confident these are products their kids will love. So what's so interesting about this? Everything we make at Toca Boca is designed for all kids. It's our mission to make sure no kid ever feels excluded by Toca Boca, said Matilda Ingman, head of consumer products. True to those values, the collection was designed with inclusivity in mind, and we are so excited to see it will be merchandised together as a collection sitting between the boys and girls aisle of many Target stores. Which is really cool. So it's kind of like gender neutral products at Target.
Hey guys, I'll be back. I'm going to go to Target now.
They have really cool designs though. And
it's really exciting.
And you know, God, we've talked about that a lot just over the years about how stupid it is that the girls section is pink and princess and the boys section, all your options are like, trucks and dinosaurs and dogs, like that's
right,
that's all the designs on the clothing, or licensed things, right? Yeah. Where so the princess is in the girls section and the boys section, it's, you know, fucking SpongeBob and Spider-Man and stuff. Right.
Well, Target's been, I mean, this isn't the first time. They're one of their newest Target lines for kids, the Cat and Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Clothing. Cat and Jack. I was really excited when that came out because it had in the girls clothing section things that you wouldn't normally see on clothes, animations of girl astronauts and space orbiters and
oh, that's
planets.
Cool.
And yeah, that's not normally something that is put on girls' clothing. So Target's really going in a really good direction with their merchandising team and whoever's making these decisions to get this stuff to sell there. It's doing a really good job because it does seem like there's a lot more doors opening, especially in the kids departments, which is nice.
Yeah.
And they need to bring it over to the adult section too.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we will be right back with Gracie and Abby from the Good Morning Nancy podcast. Stay tuned. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
I was feeling so alone.
I was going through a really difficult time.
I didn't want to bother anyone.
I didn't think they'd understand.
It was tough at first, but I did it.
I'm glad I asked for help.
I asked my teacher.
I asked my dad.
You can do this.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. Ask for help.
It's time to wake up from your nightmares and listen to Good Morning Nancy. Hosted by Gracie and Abby, longtime friends and horror nerds, this podcast about their favorite scary movies will lift your spirits and give you the strength to join the living for the rest of the day.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. In the studio with me today, my lovely wife, Becca.
Hello.
And we are again putting down the newspaper for this week. We are joined today by Gracie Jarvis and Abby Brown, longtime friends and self-described horror nerds and creators of the Good Morning Nancy podcast. That's MOURNING. Good Morning Nancy, which is available on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. First, welcome to Sarah Talk. Happy to have you guys.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited.
Yes, thank you so much.
So let's talk about your obsession. Is an obsession with horror films? Are you obsessed?
We both looked at each other. Yeah.
Define obsession.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I would say, yeah, I have a ton of horror movie posters in my apartment that I think kind of scare people a little.
What is it about the genre that keeps you hooked?
I really love that when you watch horror films, most of the time it's female protagonists. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of women that you can relate to in horror films more often, I think, than any other genre, because there's such a wide variety, surprisingly, of women in horror films. Hmm. Yeah. So I really like seeing a female protagonist. It's sort of like the Goonies or like the E.T. for women, you know, yeah. Horror movies is, yeah, more likely to have like a female hero.
And there are so many opportunities for females in this genre, and there's so much that you can cover as far as like the topics in horror and, you know, what frightens people.
Yeah.
Because everybody is so different. There's such a wide, or there's a really broad spectrum, I should say.
Now, I'll admit,
what you can create.
You know, I never really was much of a scary movie person, though. I'm not much of a movie person at all, really.
Yeah.
But I can remember Children of the Corn being a movie that stood out to me. And Gracie, what? I told you about this. My sisters, who are 11 and 12 years older than I am, and I think they were in high school at the time, they had a party out in our log cabin in the middle of nowhere, Illinois.
And, oh my God.
And to watch Children of the Corn. And my mother wouldn't let me watch it with them as much as I wanted to. And I mean, being in a small town, these were kids that like, I grew up basically hanging out with these high school kids. But the one thing I remember, at some point in the movie, a couple of the guys snuck out to the cornfield, like literally in our backyard, And when they came back in, they threw these corn stalks into the middle of the room to scare the shit out of everybody.
Oh my God.
So
that would have scared me so much.
Right? You're like into it. You're intensely watching. And then these the corn just flies into the room. So that's a series of horror movie that like I did eventually get into. But I think I was just scarred for life by the ones I did watch that I was probably too young to watch. I mean, Child's Play, right? That came out in 1988. I was 9 years old. And I remember being scared out of my mind. But what kid wouldn't be, right? Like, this kid so desperately wants this doll that turns out to be possessed by a serial killer? That's enough to fuck anybody up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Child's Play is such an interesting film because it has a child protagonist.
Yeah.
Like, a child hero. So it's like, it's definitely a film that's not made for kids, but it focuses on a child. So it's really interesting. That's super interesting to me. So plus Brad Dourif, who does the voice of Chucky, is a freaking like amazing actor. So he scares the crap out of you.
That's so funny that you say that though, about like seeing these horror films when you were so young, because I feel like that happens to a lot of us.
Absolutely.
When we're young kids, like we see things that we're not really supposed to, and it just sticks with us.
Yeah.
And then I think the kids, there's a really good documentary called Nightmares in the Red, White, and Blue. And they talk about how like young kids see things that scare them. And the ones that like are a little bit uncomfortable grow up to not like horror, but the ones who are fascinated by it really, really get into it and they stick with the genre. So that's really funny.
Yeah, that's so you're a living example of that.
Yeah, exactly.
You just described my whole childhood. I had a next door neighbor. She had three daughters who were all around the same age as me. One was a year older, one was a year younger. Then there was a third one that was a little older than all of us. And they loved horror movies. And my mom wouldn't let me watch that kind of stuff because we were very protected, you know. So I'll never forget the first time I spent the night over there. I was 7 years old and they watched Nightmare on Elm Street. And I was, and I couldn't, I was horrified by it. But the mom would always, like, before that, I even remember before that, like, she would tell us scary stories in the middle of the day, like, about clowns. So when I was a kid, I was terrified of clowns. And then they make me watch this movie and I... So I've never been able to watch scary movies ever.
Oh no. Wow. So you've never seen It, I assume.
I've never seen anything. I've never seen any. I think I've watched Children of the Corn. I think Sarah made me sit down and watch that one when we first started dating. And then I haven't seen anything else. I can't. I get creeped out. I watched conspiracy series TV shows on Netflix and the guy's scary voice talking about doomsday freaks me out.
Yeah.
So I'm a little chicken.
Aww.
Well, and fear is relative, I think, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely.
You know, we're all scared by different things.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And so I think that you might actually find a horror film that, that might not scare you, so you should explore, Becca. I'm sure you'll find something that you're fascinated with.
Oh, you should watch Zombievers.
Yes.
Oh God,
or
no.
What We Do in the Shadows.
No, nothing with zombies.
Oh no!
The plant versus zombie game. Like when I hear just the noise of the game, the noise of the zombie that the zombies make, or Minecraft. Our son is into Minecraft real heavy right now, and when I play it, I can't play it with the sound on because the noise of them, it just, I can't.
That is true. That is a little scary.
They are creepy.
They're very creepy.
All right. So let's talk about gender roles. One of the things that I really like about your podcast is that you keep coming back to this topic because it's actually very prevalent. One of the, you know, often the bad guy is, well, a guy, violent, powerful, and dominating, wielding an axe or a chainsaw. While the female characters are presented as weak and scared, running through the scary dark forest to escape the killer, is that story structure really as common as it seems?
No, actually, not at all.
Is that all in my head?
No, yeah. So I think that we can go back to what I was saying earlier, that most of the time the females are the heroes. Mm. When, of course, you're going to have victims because you need to somehow put your hero in danger. So most of the time, like, and this happens in superhero movies as well, like the people around you are being hurt or they die. And so that gives the hero more of an objective to survive throughout the story. So, of course, you are going to have some women running helplessly through the woods, but you're going to have men doing that as well. So the victimization is actually very gender neutral. Like there isn't like one side of the spectrum with that. But most of the time at the end of horror films, you're going to see women, especially in movies like Your Next with Aaron as the final girl, I Spit on Your Grave with Jennifer as the final girl, and The Descent and Scream and Sydney and Sarah are the final girls. They all come back as heroes. And what's so interesting is in Carol Clover's book, Men, Women, and Chainsaws, she talks about gender roles in horror films. And she talks about how women will actually sort of become more masculine, I guess, by the end of the film. Like they'll usually have like a knife or a like a poker or something that's very penis looking.
And, where's the bell?
Yeah.
You get a bell for that.
Yeah. And they will destroy the male villain with it. And so they actually, men who are watching horror films actually start to relate to the woman. So like the gender is sort of blended and it's like, you know, everyone can then now relate to the woman. You still are seeing it through the female perspective because it is obviously still a female, but she is becoming more masculine, I think, in her actions. So it's sort of interesting in that sense where the woman kind of overpowers the man by sort of becoming a man herself. Like, it's super weird. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, or, like, if you notice, too, like, when you're watching these movies, the female character starts out as, like, quote-unquote pretty. Like, she's very feminine, but by the end of the movie, she's like completely disheveled and
covered in mud and blood.
Like just her appearance is just destroyed.
So her feminine appearance is destroyed.
Right. Yeah.
And she becomes like again, she becomes like gender neutral. Like everyone can then relate to her no matter what she is, basically.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the final girl. Do we need to just take a step back to kind of define what that means in these films?
Absolutely. Yes. The final girl was actually coined by Carol Clover in her book, Men, Women, and Chainsaws. So she created that term. And it is the girl, most of the time it is a girl at the end of a horror film who is the last person left. Mm. So she is literally the final girl, like the last living character. So I did
a little research trying to find like lists of movies with like badass female characters from the start. And most of them I found were kind of newer, but they were ones that I'd honestly never heard of. And I don't want to correlate that, of course, but director and producer Eli Roth argued in a 2010 Forbes interview that newer-ish films like Scream and Saw did do a better job of trying to get away from that kind of helpless girl syndrome. Is that something that you're seeing, maybe a change over time?
Yeah, definitely.
There are very few older horror films that have a strong female presence where she's portrayed as not the victim. Like I mentioned before, I Spit on Your Grave, I think, was one of the very first horror films that showed like a woman basically taking revenge on her male abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the other title for that film was The Day of the Woman. And it was just her like coming back and like taking over. But that was in the 1970s that movie came out. You are going to see more a strong female protagonist now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you mentioned Scream. Scream is actually a really good example. In the movie Scream, Sydney, the final girl, has sex. And she is then pursued by the killers. And she's still overpowers them. And they even mention in the film, because Scream is, of course, a spoof on other horror films.
Right.
They mention in the film, now you gotta die. Those are the rules because you had sex and she doesn't. And so that is actually a pretty good example of changing
the trope that the final girl is actually normally a virgin.
Yeah.
But Scream changes that. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And the other film that you had mentioned when you talked about the interview with Eli Roth was Saw. And actually there's a character in the Saw franchise named Amanda. And at one point she is the victim of Jigsaw, the serial killer in the Saw franchise. And she becomes his accomplice. And she actually escapes one of his traps in the first movie and ends up, you know, capturing people for him.
Oh, wow.
And, wow.
You know, as he's dying from cancer, she ends up kind of taking on the role of Jigsaw.
So that's something, yeah, that's a good point. That's something else that you're going to see more in later horror films is that women are not only the heroes and victims, but they also become the villains.
Yeah. Right.
Which is really cool.
Yep.
Now, you talk about this a lot on your show when looking at the way female characters interact with each other. What is the Bechdel test, and what trends have you noticed from kind of applying that as you look at these films?
Well, the Bechdel test was started in a comic book, actually. It actually was like a rule. The Bechdel test was something that Alison Bechdel, that she did in her comic strip, Dykes to Watch Out For.
Sounds good.
The Bechdel test first appeared in 1985 in one of her comic strips, and it was these two women who were going to see a movie, and they talk about how, you know, can you believe that movie didn't have two women talking to each other who had names about something other than a man? And so that is the Bechdel test. Yeah. So now I can't actually watch a movie without trying to figure out if the Bechdel test is in it.
Yep.
So the first thing you look for is two women who have names, and if they talk to each other about something other than a man. Mm-hmm. And that could be any man, like their child who is a boy, like their husband, their boyfriend, father, anything. It just has to be not a man. And it's amazing how many movies don't pass. Like Star Wars, the first one, New Hope, does not pass.
Wow.
Because Princess Leia is legitimately the only woman in that film.
Right?
Besides
in the universe.
Rue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And they never meet. I think Texas Chainsaw,
surprisingly,
does not pass. Even though there are two women in this film and they're actually seen together a lot, they're never seen talking to each other.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's so really weird.
Yeah, right? And so now you won't be able to do it either. You'll have to, every movie be like, does it pass?
Yeah. Now I just want to go binge watch a bunch of random movies. Just
I know. And then it's kind of surprising, though, the ones that do pass the Bechdel test, it, like sometimes you would not think they would.
Yeah, like House of Wax, the 1953 movie that we covered in one of our earlier episodes, surprisingly passes. Whereas, you know, like I said earlier, like Star Wars doesn't, and that was made much later.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a very simple test, and it's sort of mind-blowing how many movies don't pass it, and then what movies pass it. So
yeah.
That's crazy. And then it'll be stuck in our heads forever. Thanks. what about children? You know, I mentioned Child's Play, but I don't know, maybe Andy seems kind of, and I'm not the expert here. I have a skewed version of this, but he seems like maybe an unusual narrative. And then Children of the Corn were led by a boy. But then it seems like more often it's little girls who are possessed like by demons and stuff. Is that in my head too? Or have child characters been more kind of equal?
No, that is actually a really great point, Sarah. You know, this episode hasn't premiered yet, but on Tuesday... Ooh. On July 11th, we're going to be talking about A Tale of Two Sisters, which is a Korean horror film. And without giving too much away, because it's a fantastic film, Asian horror usually focuses on female ghosts and like female, like vengeful spirits. And I don't know if that's sort of like where it comes from, but most of the time in like classic literature or in ancient cultures, the ghosts are normally female because of this idea that the female is more vengeful and is trying to take revenge on her life where she was destroyed, basically.
Wow.
That's so, like, crazy.
As a spirit, they have more power in death than they do in life because they're repressed in life.
Oh right. My God.
Wow.
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a really, really good point too. But I think also with very young female characters, the way that society has been conditioned, we often see like little girls as a representation of, you know, innocence and purity and that kind of thing. So when that is corrupted, it truly horrifies people.
Mm-hmm.
So like in The Exorcist, the things that you hear Regan say when she's possessed, like, is mind blowing for some people.
Yeah.
And I think that that was part of, you know, the shock factor when it was released. What year was that? Do you remember?
In the 70s. And that's a good point because William Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist, which is, you know, the movie's based on his book, he could have made it into a little boy, which is what the original story came from, is that he was inspired by a story of a little boy who got exorcised.
Yeah.
He changed it to a little girl. And I mean, he didn't have to, but no. I think he knew that that would sync more with people reading the book and, of course, I'm watching the movie.
Well, yeah, absolutely. In that same 2010 Forbes interview, Eli Roth said he was trying to explain why possessed young boy characters didn't work and said, with a possessed girl, you instantly feel protective of her. Teenage boys can be violent and dangerous already, so when they're possessed, it's not a big difference.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, you can attribute it to, oh, it's just hormones. You know, they're just going through a rough time and it's just aggression that they're holding inside. But it's so atypical of a little, well, of, you know, people's opinion of what a little girl should act like. So
now this is one of the questions that you sent over, and I'm more than a little ashamed that I didn't think of this myself.
Oh,
we were at Polk Pride a few weeks ago doing some live remote broadcasting at our booth, and we talked with a lesbian woman in her early 70s who told us about an experience that she had back in the 50s. She was at a movie theater filled with like 14 and 15 year olds watching some vampire movie. And she described a scene where two of the female characters were kissing while the audience made sounds of disgust. Mm. And then kind of a callback to something you mentioned earlier, in the very next scene, there was a killing and the audience erupted in applause. And, you know, she said kind of at that time, she was like, you know, I walked out of there thinking, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with these people. And speaking about her own identity, but you know, that's a good micro example of kind of what the social climate at that time was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, horror films also tend to exploit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is obviously, that is one of its biggest flaws. I think now, there's a great book that I think you would really like. It's called Out of the Dark, I think. Out of the Dark. And it is about gay horror directors and writers.
Oh, wow.
And it's really great. And they talk about what inspired them and like why they decided to make horror films.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their films are actually very exploitive. But I mean, if you look back at like blaxploitation films, obviously it's not the same thing. But the idea of exploitation was so that people who were black could have movies that they could relate to, like all black casts and black characters, black villains, black heroes. Mm-hmm. And that would be the same for some exploitive gay and lesbian and bi trans horror movies.
Yeah.
So even though they're sort of exploitive, at least they have gay, bi, trans characters.
Right. I think it's a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah. And so now they're sort of, and that's why like these gay horror movie directors are now starting to make these films, because they want to see more horror movies with, you know, people that they can relate to.
Right.
I will, if it's okay, I want to mention like some horror movies that do sort of try to take that in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to start with a TV show, the Scream TV show, which is on Netflix. Has a major character named Audrey, who's clearly bisexual, and she is so awesome. Like, she is so powerful. She is one of the, she's technically one of the final girls there's actually a few of them because it's a TV show. You can't kill off too many characters. But she's a badass. And I think it's such a positive representation of a woman who is bisexual in a horror film or in a horror TV show. So that's a really good one. Seed of Chucky, strangely enough, has a kind of a gender neutral character. Tiffany, what's her face? I can't remember her last name, but whatever the Chucky's wife is, that doll.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have a child named Glenn or Glenda. And of course that's a spoof off of the Ed Wood movie, but their child doesn't have any genitals. So Chucky calls him Glenn while Chucky's wife calls her Glenda. Hmm. And so it's sort of just like, she's just takes on whatever gender that she wants really at the time, like their child does.
Well, that's interesting.
So it's kind of cool. There really isn't a lot of positive portrayals of LGBTQ people in horror films.
Well, and another thing, when you look at like the mainstream representation as well, like we specifically when it comes to like transgender characters, there is a lot of criticism because they continually cast cisgender actors to play these transgender characters. Is that a problem in this niche too?
Sleepaway Camp, I think, is a good exception. The mother in Sleepaway Camp is actually an actor who identified as a trans woman, and she just plays a woman. And this is what I love, is that she doesn't play a trans woman, she plays a woman. And I think that is actually probably the most positive representation I've seen in a horror film. Of course, Angela, who's the main character in that, you find out that she has been living as a woman her entire life, even though she's a man. And then, of course, she's the actress's side gender. But her mother in it, or her aunt, is actually a trans woman who is just playing a woman, which is really great, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And do we count Laverne Cox in the Rocky Horror remake? Is that, we count that?
Wow. Yeah. That's actually,
Well, what do we do with that one? Yeah.
I know. That's a really good point.
I love Laverne Cox. She's amazing.
She's great. She is so cool.
I talk about badass women.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you
could probably count that.
It's definitely it's a positive representation.
Yeah,
definitely.
If nothing else,
I love her in Orange is the New Black, too. Of course.
Oh my God. Too good.
This is completely unrelated to gender roles, but why are there so many fucking zombie movies and TV shows and The Walking Dead, Z Nation, iZombie, Dead Snow? People actually stockpile stuff and like study how to survive a zombie apocalypse in real life.
Well, we were just talking about that yesterday. Gracie and I were somewhere and we saw a bunch of like Walking Dead stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just kind of like, oh.
Yeah, I'm completely
exactly
uninterested.
What Abby did too. She looked at it and she went, oh.
Yeah. But Gracie said, you know, it's horror for people who don't like horror. Hmm. So it's weird. Or at least the people that we know or are close with tend to be a little bit more interested in like the sci-fi genre.
Okay.
And they like stuff like The Walking Dead and like zombies and that kind of thing.
Huh.
So I think with the whole zombie craze, they just kind of like found a niche and ran with it and it just blew up.
Yeah.
Kind of like how like the whole vampire thing blew up when Twilight came out. It never ends. I don't think it'll ever go away.
Yeah, I think that it's dying down more now. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, it's true. Like Walking Dead, there's a genre blindness, I think, when it comes to The Walking Dead, where it's sort of more of an adventure story, rather than a horror story.
Right.
So I think that's why zombie movies are more attractive to people who are non-horror fans.
Yeah. So. I'm not even going to lie to you either. Like when I look through like the horror movies that are listed on Netflix, if something looks interesting, but then I read the description and it's like, oh, flesh-eating virus attacks a small community. I'm like, oh, next.
Yep.
I think that's something that people are legitimately afraid of too, though.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
Something horrible happening with like their health.
Right.
Especially with our current healthcare situation in the United States. Mm-hmm. I think that is a real fear that most of the people have, is something happening to their health.
Yeah.
And that's more likely to happen than somebody like murdering you in your apartment, right. I guess.
Hmm. Well, what I will say though, of all the zombie movies that I've seen, 28 Days Later to this day remains like one of my favorite horror movies, because it is such a staple and it was so well made and it was beautifully filmed and the acting is so good in that movie. It's yeah. I think if you look at what was going on at the time when 28 Days Later came out, you know, that was very, very relevant. You know, everyone was scared of anthrax, the mail, and like bioweaponry basically was on everybody's mind because of all of the terrorism attacks that were happening in America,
right,
and around the world. So especially like in the UK and stuff, where 28 Days Later takes place. So I think that one, if you're going to watch a zombie movie, it should be that one, because it's very relevant.
Yeah. And can I just add to that? Horror movies are social. Like they're about like what is happening in our current times.
Yeah.
Very similar to sci-fi.
Yep.
Sci-fi works the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we go to like Rosemary's Baby, I mean, that came out in the 60s. And of course that covers topics like toxic masculinity and abortion and women in Catholicism and women's rights and human rights, of course, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Stepford Wives, the same thing, like breaking social norms and being possibly better at something than your husband.
Right. Yeah.
You know, these were all very taboo things to be talking about and whatever, but this was being talked about and it was being challenged. And I think Get Out is a good current social horror movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking about like racism. Mm. So, yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, I want to talk about the podcast a little more specifically. Good Morning Nancy. A little bit more about some of the films that you've already reviewed. I'm going to get your recommendations on some great feminist films to check out. So we'll do all of that and more when we come back. You're listening to Sarah Talk. Sarah Talk is made possible by our patrons. We love our patrons. If you're not a Sarah Talk patron, you're missing out.
We should do a parody show for bathroom bills at the dog park. Like dogs fighting over which dog gets to pee where.
Or the owners.
Yeah. I feel uncomfortable that my dog has to shit on the transgendered lawn. Fuck that.
Our Patreon fans get access to special patrons-only content, like this nearly two-hour-long bonus episode where we break down Texas Senate Bill 6, the bathroom bill, with our special guest, Jake Vahaba.
My dog hunches over and takes a big runny shit. It's going to do it with other straight shit dogs,
which is the argument I hear.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly what
my dog knows what it is, and it may fuck other men dogs sometimes, and pillows and shit, my kid. But I'm not having my dog shit next to other transgendered hump dogs.
Not only do our patrons get access to all previous patron-only specials for less than the price of a tall whatever Starbucks tries to pass off as a coffee, you'll get an ad-free version of the show, which often includes outtakes and extended segments. And of course, we'll give you a special shout-out on the show. Become a patron now for as little as $1 per episode. Go to patreon.com/saratalk today. That's patreon.com/saratalk. Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. In the studio with me, as always, my lovely wife, Becca. And we are talking today with Gracie and Abby. They are the co-hosts and creators of a really cool podcast called Good Morning Nancy. Do you have like a top three, like great movies that are really female oriented or feature like really strong female characters that you love?
Top three each?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yep, you go first.
A top
Abby.
List.
Oh man, okay.
What should I watch? That's the question.
Okay, well, The Witch is a really, really good example. I don't know if you were going to say that, Gracie.
No, but, please. Yeah.
The Witch is great because it's a horror film, but it is a very tastefully and artfully made horror film. And it's a little bit more on the side of like a drama or a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, it's a little bit frightening, but not too much. But that really, really represents femininity in a way that is a little bit different than what horror typically does. So The Witch is a really, really good one. Oh gosh, what's another one?
The Following mm-hmm. is a really great one.
Oh, that's.
The Following is a newer one, and that has a female protagonist, and she basically it's like the horror of getting an STD.
Oh wow.
And so it follows you wherever you go, and it hurts your friends, and it hurts you, and it's dangerous. It can kill you. And so that's a really good one about like the dangers of sexually transmitted diseases. And
yeah.
Ginger Snaps is a Canadian werewolf film, and mm-hmm. it is phenomenal. Like, that is a great female, like, go girl kind of movie. I'm all about like movies, like normalizing like periods. So like that one does Ginger Snaps does.
Yes, yep.
And so does Carrie, of course. Mm-hmm. Tale of Two Sisters also does as well. So
yeah.
Huh.
What's another good one? Prometheus goes hand in hand with the Alien franchise. It's kind of, I think it's more like the origin story of Alien.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is.
The one of the lead characters is a female scientist. And, it talks about her not being able to have children, but then suddenly she's impregnated with an alien baby, and it's something that she doesn't want.
That sort of normalizes like abortion and stuff too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, those are really good. Gothica has a great, strong female black character, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
And a black villain, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think Get Out, obviously, is amazing. Everyone should check out Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should watch Rosemary's Baby. Everyone should watch Texas Chainsaw. Like, these are all just, like, staple classics.
Yeah,
definitely. If you're into something that's a little bit more, like, psychological, it is pretty gory, but Your Next is a really, really good one that features a really strong female character who just does anything she can to survive.
Yeah,
the situation.
She obliterates them.
Yeah,
she's
amazing.
The perpetrators.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, those are all really good ones.
No, that's a good list. So
that was definitely more.
Now I have work to do.
I could have just kept going. Yeah, sorry. I like had to stop us.
No, but that's
cut.
Yeah.
No, but that's good because, you know, I think that demonstrates kind of the answer to that original question of strong female characters being kind of stereotypically not included in the genre is not true. Like, here's a big long list of really good movies that you can check out.
Right. Yeah.
So tell us about your podcast, Good Morning Nancy. Where did the title come from?
Good Morning Nancy came to me after a few months of really thinking. I mean, I actually contacted Abby earlier this year, like probably January, I think, is when I contacted her. And I was like, I'm going to do this podcast. Don't know what it's called yet, but this is the type of stuff I want to talk about. And we came up with all kinds of crazy, cheesy names.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so bad. And finally,
I think Night of the Living Femmes.
Oh,
was
that's
like one. Yeah. I'm like, I'm really bad at this. Sorry.
Yeah. So then one day I was watching Nightmare on Elm Street, and I never really watch the Freddy Krueger movies. I actually started out as not a big fan of them.
It's horrifying.
Right?
Well, to a six-year-old.
Yeah.
I actually didn't really like Freddy Krueger as a villain. I thought he was kind of stupid. I don't know. I'm probably going to
Gosh, I just remembered something. I'm so sorry. I have seen another one. My stupid ex dragged me to see Freddy versus Jason. And I cried. I cried the whole time.
So bad. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I know. I don't really like
Freddy as a villain. I just don't care, I guess. I don't know. But I was watching it, and Nancy, who is the final girl, was such a badass. Like, mm-hmm. she was tricking him out of her dream, and, like, she was, like, setting all these traps for him, and she was destroying him. It was awesome. And, mm-hmm. I mean, the writer for Juno, Diablo Cody, actually said it best. She said that, you know, while, like, the little boys in the Goonies were fighting, you know, the bad guys, like, Nancy was kicking Freddy's butt. You know, like, she was, like, in the 80s, she was, like, the female, like, girl to look up to, I guess, yeah. in adventure films. And, when I watched that movie, I was like, wow, like, yeah, like, she's so cool. And I also like the name Nancy. I think it's a very pretty name. So I wanted to title it Good Morning Nancy, because, you know, it's Nancy wakes up at the end of Nightmare on Elm Street wow. from her bad dream. And she even says, like, it's so bright out. And when she, like, walks outside and the sun's out and she's happy. But then, of course, at the end, she's still in peril because Freddy sort of comes back. So that's why I wanted to add the morning with a U. Because it might seem like it's everything is happy, but sometimes it's not. And I think that also can describe the horror genre as well. There are still definitely. A lot of horror films that need some work. Mm-hmm. But that's changing. So it's still like we're waking up from our nightmares of the bad sexist horror films.
I think, yeah, definitely. Finally.
Now, so far, you've reviewed Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Creature from the Black Lagoon, House of Wax, Rosemary's Baby, and you do these coffee breaks where you're like, it's a shorter mini episode where you look at trailers for movies that are coming out soon.
Yep.
What do we have to look forward to on the horizon? Can you announce anything?
Yeah. Well, we got like some werewolf movies coming up. We got some holiday themed movies coming up later this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I don't want to give too much away.
I know, but season two, we just started recording a couple weeks ago. So that one is shaping up to be really, really awesome.
We're in the process of changing a little bit of our format. We're trying to make it more clean. We hired our composer to then remake the theme song for the full length episode. So not only will you see some like really great like horror films, but you're going to experience a cleaner, crisper podcast.
Very cool.
Absolutely. And hopefully, if all goes well, we'll have merch up soon.
Yeah, so merch is coming up.
T-shirts. Yay.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, I really enjoy listening to your podcast, which I think says a lot about the way that you're covering these films, especially considering like I'm not already a fan of the genre coming to it. And I recommend our listeners subscribe to Good Morning Nancy. Trust me, you don't have to be a horror nerd to enjoy it. I'm hands in the air. But it's such a unique perspective on the films in this genre. And I know that you'll take something away from it and look at these movies in a way you've never considered them before. And we'll have all the links on the show notes of this episode. But besides, you said Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud, is there a website that's up now that we can send people to learn more?
Yeah, totally. www.goodmorningnancy.com, and that's morning with the U. And we actually have a listen page, so you can listen to the podcast on the listen page. We also post blog posts. So normally the day before the episode premieres, a blog post will go up. We have, any news, any merch, like everything will be on that website.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. I have a final question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if either of you have fantasized about this sort of thing or not, but if a filmmaker came to you and said, Gracie, Abby, we want you to help us write the next thriller, what would that story look like?
Oh.
That's a great question.
It is a great question.
Oh my God.
Well, okay. I have to say, I'm not really, out of the two of us, I'm not the writer. I'm more of like the artistic type.
Yeah.
So okay. I think Gracie would definitely have to head that one up.
You can talk about which one you'd want to maybe do the art direction to.
Yes, exactly.
I would want to write, okay. I would love there to be a female creature in the Creature from the Black Lagoon remake.
Oh my God, yes.
I want it to be a female creature so freaking bad.
I made a comment in the Creature from the Black Lagoon episode that Scarlett Johansson was going to be in it.
Oh my god, yes.
But I really, yep. But I knew she wasn't going to be the creature, but I wanted her to. Like, yes. She'd be so great. So that would be mine, is like a female Creature from the Black Lagoon movie. I'd awesome. Want to write that.
Yeah. Oh my god. Too good.
What would you want to do the art direction for, Abby?
What
kind of movie? What kind of horror movie?
Probably like a werewolf movie, because werewolves are my favorite movie monster. Mm-hmm. So probably something along those lines.
Very
would be
cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I'll be listening.
I'm going to have to go listen now.
Yeah, you are. It's so good.
I'll be honest, I haven't listened yet, but I don't know. Hearing you talk about it made me a little interested.
Yeah.
I'm not promising I'm going to watch any horror movies, but I did think of another movie that might qualify that I've seen. I've seen the Final Destination films.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those, literally, I will be driving down the road and I will get in another lane if there's a log truck anywhere near me.
Yes.
I have pulled over and waited because it was too close. Like,
oh my god! Oh, no, yeah. That's so true. I hold my breath every time.
I do. Yep. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's terrifying. But yeah, I did see those movies. And other ones. Those are the other ones that I was forced to watch by mean people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know, we all have scars.
Oh, indeed.
No. Oh no.
Oh. So thank you guys so much. This is really fun.
Sarah, Becca, we had a blast. Thank you so much for having us on your show.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely our pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The podcast is Good Morning Nancy. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That's going to do it for this episode of Sarah Talk. In the coming weeks, we are going to do an episode focusing on coming out, either as an LGBT identity, or as a different religion than the one you were brought up in, or as non-religious. What are some of the things you may have heard as a child, from your family or friends, those close to you in your community, that made it harder for you to come out? Of course, we will get back into the news and much more. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. This is Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.